you started on the road. You're a road dog.
For sure.
Yeah. Was there ever any interest on going to LA or New York?
I went to, what's the thing? Just for Laughs. Yeah. New Faces.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I shit so hard.
Did you? What year did you do it?
I did it, I think 2004. And
so you were doing it when it was still relevant as far as like a...
Yeah, like it was a career maker at that point.
People don't know. Just for Laughs has this thing called New Faces, which is basically it's basically like a debutante.
Yeah,
you're like brought in, you know, as like so spot, like they might as well hold your hand and have you twirl.
It's in front of the industry. It's like they're buying horses.
He really is. That so someone grabs your nuts, and then they go breathe out. No, he's good for breeding. And you're like, oh, I do voices, and I never had a dad. And they go. Maybe we can do a sitcom. Mm-hmm.
AGT, big time. Yeah. Send him to AGT.
Send him to the pit. If he gets out of the Sarlacc pit, he can live. So you did JFL in... When did you start comedy?
In 98. May 4th, 98. Stepped on stage at Acme Comedy Company. Did a an open mic.
How old are you?
And, oh, boy, that's a good question. I was... In 98, I was... 24. Yeah.
So you are, you don't have any kids yet at this point?
That can't be right. I couldn't have been 24. I'd have been 23.
When were you born? I can help you out. Give me the year you were born.
I was 23.
Let's go old school. What year were you born? And oldness, do the math.
We'll work it back, dude.
By the way, that is such a comic thing where you're like, oh, it's just a like a person getting older thing. You go, what? How old was I? The older you get, the more you're willing to give like a generic range.
Yeah.
But when you're like...
From 16 to 34, it's more of a demographic.
Yeah, yeah. You're going demos. When you're a kid, you're like, I'm 7 3/4.
Yeah,
like, you
right.
know, and exactly. Then now over 40, you're like, I don't know. Who was president? Clinton the second time? Like, you don't have any way.
Yeah, so 23 because no kids when I started. But then 6 months after I did that, I got asked to go do Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Okay.
House MC up there.
Okay.
And then... My girlfriend at the time called me 3 weeks in and was like, I'm pregnant.
No
way. So that's my son.
And you're emceeing.
I'm emceeing. So I told her, I go, I haven't even unpacked the bags yet. So I'll just come back. And she was like, no, I don't think I'll need you till the third trimester. And I was like, What's happening?
What are we, settlers?
Is this
kind of like that's like prospector law?
Hold on, is this a support system?
Yeah.
Is this someone who believes in
me? She goes, when you see a foot, come back. When a foot comes out, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you're that young in comedy, right? You're in Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Right. Sun goes down at 2:30 p.m.
Shout out the Northern Hemisphere,
yeah.
Especially in the winter, really making people bummed out. But you. So you get this call. Are you like, I'm done with comedy? Or are you like...
Well, I thought I would be done, yeah.
You thought that was it?
But then she said, stay up there. And then I ended up doing it. And everybody, all the headliners that came up, were like, hey, man, when you're done with this, come with me out on the road.
Yeah.
So listen to this. I had to audition. Mitch Hedberg was my audition week, which is wild. And... This is kind of, for me, I've loved comedy since I was a little boy.
Sure.
So on the way up there, he stopped at a truck stop and got those blue sunglasses that he kind of became famous for.
Yeah, the blue blockers.
Yeah. And so he ended up, that was
you were there the moment.
First weekend he wore them. Yeah.
You were there the moment. That's like being around when Elvis put on the jumpsuit. He goes, you guys think this looks a little ridiculous? And they're like, no, that's a cool bedazzled eagle on the back. And
wait a
like,
second. But we have to cover up the eagle with a cape.
And he goes, I love that idea. Yeah. You really were in the Mitch Hedberg biopic. You're at the moment where he goes, hey, Chad, man, are these cool? And you go like, that's it. That's the look.
Actually, I was probably like, yeah.
Yes, sir. Do you want to bounce any bits?
Yeah. Can you help me grow my hair out?
There was this story. I saw Mitch Hedberg. I love watching old Mitch Hedberg clips. And there was a story that he had about living in L.A. And he had the joke about the neighbor pounding on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes... Sorry, there's no door. You're going to have to go around. That joke is about Nick DiPaolo. And on Hedberg's set list, that's what the joke was. So it would be like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, Ant Farm, Nick DiPaolo. And he knew to do that joke. So I love shit like that. When you find out...
Yeah, so I got that one, and then I used to use that. So he wrote a joke about me, and I used to use that as a credit because I didn't have any credits.
That's a badass credit. What joke did he write?
It was the, you know what I like? Mashed potatoes. Come on, man, you got to give me time to guess. So we were at this little diner, and I go, you know, I'll have this sandwich and fries, and he goes, I'll have this sandwich and mashed potatoes, and I was like, oh, you know what? I love mashed potatoes. Can I have some mashed potatoes? And then I just see him grab his notebook.
That's great.
His little notebook used to have a Band-Aid on the cover.
Really? And then he just, are you asking him when he's writing down? Uh-uh. Are you like, nope. What are you doing?
And then I just heard it that night and I was like, oh my God.
He gets off stage. You go, I just want to thank you writing that.
So it was insane.
I mean, that is, you could argue Mitch Hedberg is the greatest joke writer of all time.
Yeah, he was unbelievable.
I mean, there's like, you got Dangerfield, you got Norm, you got Mitch Hedberg, but people that, Hattell, obviously David Hattell,
of course.
But you have people that are able to put a joke in with like five words. Mm-hmm. I mean, the shortest, best one Hedberg ever did was, I used to do drugs. I still do, but I used to too. And you're like, oh, that's such a simple, but it's a banger. So you were on North Folk, what is it?
Grand Forks, North Dakota.
I knew it was all a North or a Grand. That first weekend's with Mitch Hedberg.
First week, and he had just, it's his first weekend after coming off of his Just for Laughs, where he got that big $500,000 development deal with Fox.
So that's what I was saying about JFL. Yeah. You used to go up there, and if you did well enough at the debutante ball, if you were a dirty debutante, you got like $500,000. It could change your life instantly. Mm-hmm. And so you go up there, you start in 98.
Yep.
You have your son in 99?
Yes.
Okay. So you have your son in 99. So he's about, like 4 or 5 years old when you go up to do...
Yeah, he probably was turning 5 at the time. Yeah, because it's in July, so he must have just turned.
And when you're going up there, has it shifted now to your girlfriend? You're like, hey, I got a legitimate shot to go make us some money.
Well, at that point, wife.
Wife. Okay. Yeah. So you guys are married.
Made an honest woman out of her.
Good job. You really are a settler.
Yeah.
You're just on the old dusty trail.
And then we're like, you go, you know,
I need to take your name in front of God or else this boy will be born a bastard.
And then we need to have another baby to prove it.
Yeah. And then I need a girl because at that point, you're populating for farmland.
That's exactly right. Hockey team.
I need another worker on the land. So you're married. Is your daughter born yet?
Yeah.
Okay. So you have 2 kids. Yeah. And you get JFL, that moment, I got JFL and I was single, an alcoholic living in a windowless room.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like, well, here we go. So you have to feel like that times 10, because it's also still the moment.
But I treated JFL like I was an alcoholic single living in a windowless room.
Yeah. You were like, I'm just going to go up there and
have Chris Fairbanks, I met Chris Fairbanks maybe 3 months before that.
Sure.
So funny. And, we just got so drunk and went to all these, but we went to not the industry parties.
Yeah.
We went to our driver who was French.
That's
and he
fun.
Knew to take us to the French parties.
Oh man.
Dude, we went in, listen to this shit. We went in through a back door into this like loft area.
Yeah.
There's furniture, but it's pushed to the side and you can tell like, this is a really cool, there's beer tubs. I got pickpocketed. So the next day, pounding on the hotel room door, it's the concierge from the hotel, and he's like, Monsieur Daniels, would you like to go back to the States or no? And I'm like, I don't know what's happening right
Why
now.
Why are you asking me a very complicated question?
Yeah, I'm pretty hungover, man.
It's crazy to go to a door and go, who is your favorite parent? Answer this and the wrong one will die. Go, like, please don't do this to
me. I still have rust on my hands from a pull-up contest on scaffolding on the way home.
What are you, in the Bronx?
Yeah, I mean, kind of.
Yeah. Dude, it's great. Also, I always said a really good hangover is like a flashbang went off. Just when you get up, it's like, ooh. And so your door's knocking and they're like, Mr. Daniels, do you want to go back to the United States? And you're like,
which passport should I grab?
Oh, fuck. Which name of mine do you have? I am Jason Bourne. So you get that knock and you're like, what the fuck?
So I have to take a phone call. It's the owner of this loft. And he goes, I have your license and your wallet. If you want to get back to the States, you're going to have to come get it.
Sure.
So now I'm like, Fairbanks, we started this together. Yeah. We got to finish this together. And so we go up.
Job ain't done, brother. Yeah.
We go and they give us instructions, but different way how to get in. We have to walk through a Chinese grocery store.
Awesome.
then go back to where they're cutting meat.
Yeah.
Take a back stairway. And now we're in this loft, but it's a normal apartment. Weird. It's all put back together. It was some Eyes Wide Shut shit for sure.
Also, I think the part of that that you feel the most fear is when they're chopping meat. Because then if an older Frenchman gives you a life speech in that moment, you're going to die.
You're going to get chopped.
One of you, you or Fairbanks, is going to die in that moment. If he's like, you know that the meat leaves the bone when the soul has exited the body. And you're like, please don't do this to me. He's just fucking cleavering something. He's like, Mr. Daniels, you have two small children. Yes.
Like, fuck. What do you need from me, man?
Okay, man, I got a set tonight.
You want me to kill him?
Yeah, I'll fucking do it.
I just met him 3 months ago. Dude,
that's always my favorite joke in MacGruber, where he's always like, do you want me to suck his dick? I'll suck his dick, man. Just don't fucking kill me. So you have you done your set yet?
We had done one of them,
the warm-up one.
No, so we had two. There wasn't a warm-up.
Okay,
so we Chris and I were on the same show, and then we did one, and we had a host who his name's Sean, Canadian guy. I'm gonna tell you something, he ate shit. He was fucking yelling at the crowd.
Yeah.
He was, I was just, and I was going first. So I'm like, dude, what's going on out there? I mean, like really yelling at, there aren't any jokes.
Oh, he's just screaming at them. And he's Canadian.
He is Canadian, but I got to come back to him.
Okay.
So I go out, eat shit pretty hard.
On the first show.
Yeah. And I'm like, these jokes, this is like my LA set, which I hate saying.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to put that set together where it's.
I tell people that all the time. If you come to New York or whatever, have like a 10-minute set that's just your punchlines. Mm-hmm. Like setups and punchlines. Make it so quick and good that you're like, you basically want to do like, you know, when you go see a band at a festival, they have festival sets.
Right.
Where you're like, okay, like I love Queens of the Stone Age. Whenever I see them at a festival, it's not going to be my favorite set because I know they're going to play No One Knows.
Oh, right. They're playing the hits.
They're going to play the hits, yeah. Little Sister. And then they're going to toss in one or two for me. But you see an actual show, you get to see all of them.
Then it's a lot of them.
So, yeah. So you're bringing your...
It's just machine guns.
Yeah.
And then I get off stage. I'm pissed. I have two managers that are talking to me because they saw me on do something else. And I was at... I was like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
And they go, this is industry. Everybody's writing stuff down.
That's why they're not laughing. You
Of course. It's all this bullshit pep talk.
There's actually a flu going around and people are sick.
There was a no laugh rule just when you were up.
I don't know. The prime minister actually came over the radio and said no laughing for 5 minutes because we lost a troop in Taiwan.
Yeah, it was wild.
Yeah.
And so,
did you know you've been doing comedy long enough that sometimes a bomb can sneak up on you early and you don't know it's a bomb. It's like in a movie where someone gets shot and they're still talking and they go like, well, aren't we going to go out to that diner? And then you're like, and that's when the blood starts going out.
It's like the end of True Detective, the second season.
Exactly.
Where she's like, you stopped moving way back there, baby.
Yeah, you're dead. That's exactly it. And then, but the longer you go in comedy, the more you can like get hit with a bullet and be like, hold on a goddamn second, pull it out of you and be like,
just heating up a doorknob.
That's like the 15-year mark. Yeah. Is this when you're going like, I didn't get an organ.
Triage in the field. Hell. Yeah.
Pink. Pull it out. But that one, you could be like, was it one of those ones where you're like, I'm bleeding, or did you know I'm bombing immediately?
Yeah, I knew. Well, I had a bad attitude because of this Sean guy. So I walked out with a bad attitude.
I want to get into Sean so bad, and I want last names so I can Google him.
And I had seen these French, these Montreal, these Quebecians.
Yeah, Quebecois.
Quebecois.
Yeah.
I had seen them chase a big paper mache head. They got out of line when we were walking to the show and they were chasing him down the street.
Oh.
And so I just go, like halfway through, I go, well, listen, just so you guys know, I know that the French sense of humor sucks shit the hardest.
Yeah, it really does.
This actually makes me feel better.
Dude, I have thought that my entire time going to Montreal. Big J and I used to make fun of it, where you go like, you walk into like an arena with like 26,000 people and it's a French-speaking Canadian comedian and he goes like, myself is safe, myself, wah, 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 wah. And it's just like,
yeah.
It's just doubling over. And then you do a joke and they go like, I do not like that joke. And you're like, fuck.
What if I did?
They're like, this man gets it. So you say that mid-set. How do they take it?
Hated it worse. Yeah. And then I start piling on.
Yeah.
And then at the end, I just go, so where do I stand to get my deal? Is it over here?
That's hilarious.
Well, because I knew I'd just eaten shit so hard. So now it's for...
But you're being funny.
Sure.
I hosted Just for Laughs once. Couple years ago, and I saw a guy bomb and do that sincerely. Where he didn't go,
that's
like,
a bummer.
Like, I'm not gonna go stand over here for my deal. He went, I'll see you at the Hyatt bar. Neat tequila, two limes. And we each had our own mic.
Oh no.
And I didn't realize my mic was high enough, and I was walking back on stage. I go, what the fuck was that? Like, as we were passing each other, because it was like, dude, you did not have the set to be like, buy me a drink, peace out. It was like, dude, you. Ooh. So you saying that's hilarious. You being that's, like, that's where do I stand for my deal? What's the meanest thing you've said when you're bombing to an audience? Do you remember?
It involves death.
You like wish death on them?
I'm sure. Yeah.
Have you ever said anything that was like, I think one of the meanest things I've ever said is one time I did a weekend in San Antonio at the River Center Comedy Club, which is massive. And it was right when I started headlining. So there's maybe 30 people in a room that sat 400. And I bombed all weekend. And finally, I was like, Sunday show. I was like, I'm going to do new stuff I want to do. And I ate it the hardest on Sunday. And at one point, there was like maybe 15 people in the audience. And I went, you know what? I don't believe your guys' opinion on that joke because you're the kind of people that come in vacation in San Antonio. And this one guy goes, hey. And I just remember being like, that caught me as a moment where I went like, ah, yeah, I'm sorry, man. That was me. And that guy's like, dude, I brought my wife.
And she didn't know until that moment.
Yeah, she went, what? I thought we were in the French Riviera. Yeah. What with that river walk? I hope you're enjoying the episode. Which episode is this? God only knows. This is a generic promo. I'm on the road. February 3rd, New York Comedy Club in Stamford. February 4th, The Funny Bone in Hartford. February 17th, I am at The Wilbur in Boston. There are two shows. First show sold out. Second show, tickets are available. DanSoder.com. And then Cleveland Hilarities, February 22nd through the 24th. All at DanSoder.com. Let's get back to that episode. What a barn burner. So back to JFL.
Okay.
The first set, bomb.
Bombed hard. Yeah.
You do the, I'll be waiting for my deal over here.
Yeah.
Did you talk to anybody? Did anybody industry? Did anybody on your show do well after you?
I think so.
Do you remember anybody who was on your show? People.
Yes. Cecily Knobler was on my show. Chris Fairbanks, Isaac Witte. But nobody, I don't think anyone crushed. Like, we didn't leave that show going, someone's getting a deal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then there was a different host for the other group, and I think everyone killed.
That's always how it is. Okay. That's always how it is. I did Live at Gotham on Comedy Central.
Mm-hmm.
I got that before I got JFL. So that was my big, like, shit, I'm going to be on TV.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a manager. I might stop being a waiter. I was doing deliveries from the Mexican restaurant like the day before I taped, and I was like, this is over. And we were the first episode to tape. It was on a Thursday at 7 p.m. in August. So the sun was still screeching at 7 p.m.
Yep.
Jim Jeffries was hosting. They had no time for a warm-up, so they just sent Jim Jeffries out there. And Jim Jeffries, admittedly after, was like, I'm not a host. He's like, I don't even know what day it was. And I went first. And we all, that whole show, it didn't go bad, but it didn't go good. And it was a TV taping. And it was like me, Jason Good, Joe Mandy, I think Glenn Wool. There's a couple people on there that were like really funny comics. And none of us felt like we did well. The second show, there's the bar downstairs at Gotham. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're hanging out. The second show, Bobby Lee was hosting. It was like D'Elia, Eliza Schlesinger. It was like all the LA people murdering.
Of course.
Murdering. And I'll never forget Jim Jeffries going, every time one of these cunts gets an applause break, I'm doing a shot. And it was like, and you just hear like, and he'd go, shot. Then people are just, like an old West bar. They're just pouring it.
Leave
for
the bottle. Yeah,
dude, it was wild. Because we all had that feeling of like, can we do it again? And then you watch the second group go and you're like, fuck, you guys are crushing.
We just need our own Bobby Lee.
Dude, he was Bobby Lee.
Oh, I'm hosting?
It was nuts.
He gets everybody ready to go.
It was, it was like through the floorboards you could hear it.
Jesus.
And then we were all just double elbowed on the bar, sitting down there watching the monitor going like, fuck, it was wild. So the second show crushes. And that's the night you go to the
French party.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're driving back and he goes, so our driver goes, you guys going to go to the bar and meet up all the industry? And we're like, no.
Yeah.
No one wants to talk to us.
Yeah.
Can we go?
You should have seen the show.
Yeah. I was like, are you going to a party? And he goes, I can bring you to the street performer party. Not thinking that's where the pickpockets are.
Also, yeah, that's, you want to talk about a place shadier than stand-up comedians is street performers.
Yeah, but
those are legit circus folk.
I will tell you this, the guy that I think pickpocketed me and took my money, but also didn't throw away my wallet, which was really nice.
What a very Canadian pickpocket.
And then I think he bought me a drink. I think he bought me a beer.
Mister, let me buy you a drink.
Yes.
He was the guy in the paper hat running around. I have a long day of being chased by French people. Yeah. French Canadians love the paper mache hat. I am very tired. What are you drinking? Also, your wallet was hanging out of your pocket. I always wonder with pickpocket. I've never been pickpocketed. Hopefully, it'll never happen. You didn't feel it at all?
I got bumped, but it was a really close quarter area.
Got it.
And so when I got bumped, and then I saw it was that guy that bumped me. And then a little while longer, he goes, he is buying beer. And he goes, can I get you one? And I was like, oh. So thinking back.
So you already, okay.
No, thinking back.
When did you realize it was gone?
When I got that phone call in the morning.
Oh, that's it?
I was fucking hammered.
That is a real, I mean, that's a blessing. Because you like, you don't go through the panic of,
right.
If you're blacked out and you realize your wallet's gone, the night takes a different turn.
Yeah, we weren't blacked out. I mean, we ran home, and every time there was scaffolding, did a pull-up. It was ridiculous.
Damn, you definitely were in your, like, 20s.
Yeah.
That's such, like, I still have strength of a... I'm still in my athletic prowess.
Yeah. 40... Don't believe me? Watch this. Was that tetanus? I'll just suck it out.
Oh, whatever. I don't even have a wallet. I'm not even checking if I have a wallet. But you get to your 40s, and you go, like, I'm not doing that.
You're constantly...
Yeah. Am I? I'm constantly feeling my lymph nodes at 40. I'm
going, hey, would you like to go for a walk? Hold on. Let me check for my wallet.
Yep. Hop. Yep. And my reading glasses.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let me find my cheaters.
Yeah.
You got one here. One here.
Yeah. Ridiculous. So the next show, different host, same guy.
Different host had a much better set.
Well, can we talk about Sean finally?
But I got to tell you this part. Fairbanks in the second show, and I will never forget this. I'm standing next to a guy that wants to manage him and is taller than me.
Okay.
And so I'm standing right next to him. And Fairbanks ends the show. You know, Fairbanks is pretty scatterbrained anyways when he's on stage. Sure. Really funny, like fleeting. And he's like, well, you ever have a great opportunity, but then you drink way too much with Chad Daniels and forget your closer? Anyways, good night. He leaves stage and I can just feel it's almost like a street lamp in a cartoon.
He's like, why is it why is my left side of my face so hot right now?
This is amazing. So I just look up and he just goes, gives me one of these. And I'm like, he's an adult.
Yeah.
So Sean, I'm at this festival up by Toronto and he's there.
And this is before or after Montreal?
This is after Montreal.
So you got a bone to pick with this guy.
This is maybe 12 years after Montreal. I mean, maybe even 15.
So this is like 2016.
Yeah, something like that. And so I'm up there.
Here's my question to you. Okay. And this is just honest. We're just sitting in my giant boy room having a conversation, which you got to open your basketball cards
because
I do want to see what you got. Do you harbor resentment 15 years later?
Not
you
even became, a little bit.
Not at all.
But I did have a question.
So you're not mad at this guy at
all? No, because I then saw his Comedy Central Presents. I saw him in a couple movies. And then when they told me he was going to be there, I was like, oh, sweet. Because his Comedy Central Presents is really funny.
Okay, great.
And so he goes on stage and I'm standing in the back and I'm hands on knees laughing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because
this guy's had a bad show.
Yes. So I ask him afterwards, we're drinking, and I go, hey man, so funny, you know, loved you in this. I have a question. I go, do you remember?
Dude, I love it because there is a little bit of an element of like when you're trying to hook up with a girl and you have to make that turn of like, I want to be sexual now.
Yeah.
And you have to go like, that's crazy. You went to school for nursing. Do you want to go hang out? Like, that's what you're doing
do
with this
guy.
Do you
know how to milk a prostate?
Yeah. Have you ever, are you cool with cum on your knees? And she's like, what? That's, I've never even heard of that. So you have to do that like pivot where you go like, now the real question I have, yeah. 2004.
Yeah. And I'm like, you're hosting Just for Laughs.
Which
and
he probably definitely remembers.
He head in hand, just goes down like this. And he goes, oh my God, don't tell me you were on that show. And I go, I followed you, dude.
Oh.
And he goes, oh my God. And he goes, I had just got broken up with.
Yeah.
And I was in the darkest place of my life. And it was like touch and go whether or not I wasn't going to step into traffic. And he was just, you know, he goes, I got on that show, thought that would help. Soon as I got up there, they didn't laugh at my first joke, and I just went into a darkness. And I was like, all right, man.
It's like a documentary where they put someone face to face after like all these years and they go like, yeah. I didn't really realize you were going through something.
Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry.
Yeah, they go, whoa, man, you really needed help too. Yeah. I always think about that where it's like the Boom Boom Mancini documentary about the guy that he killed mm-hmm. son, like interviews Boom Boom. And then it's that interview where they go like, I didn't realize it was hard for you too. You know, like that. Sean's going like, I didn't know. I really messed up. I know I probably did, but now I'm face to face with you and I'm sorry. Did it feel good? It had to feel like,
no, because
not good, but like cathartic, I guess a little.
I didn't even say this. I mean, here's the deal. My career is, you know, I'm not on top of the world, but I got to raise my kids where I wanted. I got to do comedy like on my terms.
You also have, and that's what we were talking about at the beginning, an insane amount of respect from the world of comedy. There are very famous comedians that don't have a quarter of the respect that you have in the game. Well, where I'm talking about like, very good comics, when they talk about you, are like, dude, Chad Daniels is the shit. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that is, you know, that's great that you have that mindset that you're like, I got what I wanted. You got to do comedy your way. You raised your kids where you wanted to, how you wanted to.
Yeah.
And you're not dead of heroin or some shit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, you know, who knows what, if I would have had a good, so who knows what would have happened? But sure. All I know is it happened how it happened.
Yeah.
And I've love my life, so it's like tough to
yeah
about.
You look back and you go like, you can get mad. I think that's what eats some people up in any business, is I think you can look back at opportunities that are missed and gone like, you can sit in that and be like, well, this is what should have been, but you're like, well, it's not what is. I mean, I do that all the time. I did that forever with my dad, because my dad was just completely absentee.
Yeah, you and I have similar stories there.
Yeah, your pops split. Mm-hmm. How old are you when your dad took off?
15, but he stole my identity and ruined my credit and all that shit. So it was like,
dad of the year.
He didn't just leave. He fucking left.
What? Were your parents divorced when he left?
Yeah, they had just gotten divorced. So, I guess it wasn't even then. It was like, he was in and out from 15 to 21. He lived six blocks away, and my sister and I didn't see him for like 9 months at a time.
And he would just be two blocks away.
Yeah, we're very close, yeah.
Did he start a new family?
No, but he would always, around the holidays, find a woman to start smooth talking so she could buy our Christmas presents.
I'm going to tell you right now, that woman absolutely would have been my mom. Because and I love my mom. I think she is great. I think she's incredibly intelligent. Emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
You can trick her. Like, if you're a guy, you can trick Trish. And I absolutely would have. Your dad, and here's the thing. I would have been encouraging that. Sure. She would have, what was your dad's name?
Steve.
She would have been like, this guy, Steve. I'd be like, bring Steve over for Christmas. I would have been like, because I was just at home like, huh? Landon, come on. We got room. So
it was hard for you too.
Well, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was also difficult for me because Steve left. And I was calling him Chad the whole time. So how did you find out that he took your ID?
I tried to get a car loan and they were like, I don't think so. So I owed my mom, it was something insane, like $40,000 in child support, but because he had switched that to my name, It was wild.
So wait, you were on the bill for child support? Yeah. Can I just say, as someone whose dad also didn't pay child support, it's very funny.
It's
very funny to put the child support bill in the kid's name.
You do it.
Yeah, you go, but this is support for me. And they go, no, you got to pay that. Yeah. There it is. I don't even know, how did the state get tricked into that?
I have no idea. But
they're like, how's the kid paying for child support?
My mom had to write this letter to the power company and to this
you were on the hook for all this
complex.
Shit?
Oh, yeah. He got bills in my name and never paid them.
Oh, my God. God, did you ever talk to him about it?
No.
Did he die before you could?
Yes.
Damn it. Because what a conversation.
I know.
Do you
so
ever
what
like
are you thinking, Steve-O?
Stevie Weeby, what are we doing, bud? Yeah. Are you ever like, I do this with my dad sometimes, we'll all like be on a long drive and be like, what would it have looked like? Because my dad died when I was 14. So okay. I always think about, it's probably better that he died then.
Sure.
Because had I had a modicum of success, had I had any success, he would have been the dad from Waterboy. He would have shown up and been like, that's my boy. Yeah, I knew you was funny. And I think I would have gotten very angry and violent and been like, oh, now you come back.
Right.
Do you ever do that with your dad of like, I would ask him why I do that to your kid? Because he knows what he's doing.
Right. Of course.
He like took your name. He gave you the name. Right. And then he's using it to fucking rack up.
They're handing my mom my social security card to the hospital. He goes, I'll take that.
No, I'll do that.
I got that one.
Yeah, all right. And he starts memorizing the number. Oh, 4-7.
I mean, he also stole. He had a classmate that died in a motorcycle accident. He called that guy's parents and was like, so I work for the state. You guys have some compensation coming. And so all I need are some numbers, like his social security number. And he stole his identity.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
I come from pretty good stock. So
I love that, dude. Yeah. I always love seeing like how people cheat the system. And when it's through death and love. Good job, Mr. Daniels.
Yeah, like, pretty good.
Did you, when you, so you start finding this out when? Like when you're like 18, 19?
Yeah, when I was probably 20.
20. And then you find that out. Did you already have heat towards your dad for taking off and being like two blocks away and not talking?
I kind of enjoyed it because it's like I was at that. You know how when there's a son and a dad, it's like, you know, the prince has to kill the king eventually. That kind of thing.
You become the man of the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I did not become the man of the house. Like my mom would be like, can you help out and mow the lawn? I'll be like, fucking, what's wrong with a long grass?
Yeah, grass is cool long.
And
some
so,
people like it long.
Yeah, we could comb it. And so I didn't do any of that shit, which I do feel bad about that.
Yeah.
But I also didn't have somebody else with all these preconceived notions of what manhood is telling me what to do.
Sure.
So that was nice.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, I'll play it by ear.
Yeah.
I'm going to kind of learn what I did.
I'm going to pick and choose.
Yeah.
I'm going to go, oh, this guy does this. I like that. That's nice.
Yeah. And so you were 15 when your dad took off?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you're around it when you're younger. Because I think when you're under 11, 12 years old, that's when you look to like your dad to be like, and what do I do in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
You like kind of mimic. You know what I mean? That's why I had like, mine was like 50 different seasonings. I was like, well, my stepdad Nick did this, but then her boyfriend Joe did that.
And it's so an allspice.
Yeah. I'm like learning how to play all, I'm Mrs. Dash, baby. I got a little bit of everything in it. But I think that was like, my resentment by the age of 15 was already built up because I'm like, oh, you took off. I didn't learn any of that. And then you died. But you have a thing of like, oh, you took off. I kind of enjoyed it, but at a price. Then you come back.
A little bit. I mean, he had me help him steal a car. I didn't know that, though. So I finally got a car loan after I cleared my name.
Sure.
Got a car. Something was wrong with the engine, so I had to bring it back. They gave me a rental car. Then he called and was like, hey, you should come get lunch. So I went and got lunch.
And you're still talking to him?
Yeah. Yep.
After you...
He's very charming.
Dude, let me tell you right now. If you have a shitty dad, I bet they're a fun hang.
Yeah.
There's something about fun hangs that turn that make. Yeah. That's why I'm not having kids. It's because they make really shitty dads. They make really shitty dads because they can charm their way out of it.
Yeah.
My dad charmed his way out of every. My dad did nothing and died at 48 in massive debt because he was such a fun hang.
Yeah.
And at his funeral, everyone was like, yeah, that guy was a fucking blast. And you're like, well, yeah.
My dad was a liquor salesman.
Hey, so was mine.
Wow.
Southern Wine and Spirits. Interesting. My dad worked as a bartender at a liquor store and worked as a liquor salesman.
Oh, and that's interesting.
At Southern Wine and Spirit. I have his fucking business card. It's one of the only things. I don't have a picture with him, but I have that.
I have my dad's business card, but it doesn't have his name on it.
Yeah, it's got your name. Yeah. You go, turns out I actually worked for Southern Wine and Spirits for a little bit.
So his eighth DUI.
Eight?
Yeah.
You can tell you're from the North. Because there's like people in the South, they're riding bikes by the third one. In the North, they go like, well, how am I going to get the Z Tour out of the fucking field?
So he took all of the seats out of his sales van, put chairs in there, and just because he wasn't allowed in a bunch of bars in town because he'd been kicked out.
He's traveling bar?
Traveling bar.
That's awesome.
And he gets a DUI.
See, here's the thing about everything you've told me about your dad. We could take the sad out and it would make such a fun like Disney movie where you're like, he's a crazy dad. He put a restaurant in a van. That's all you have to do is shift it from bar to restaurant. And you're like, my dad's zany. And you go, no. There's a lot of sadness behind that. There's eight Deweys. There's fucking eight Deweys is nuts.
Just yell a name. I bet he'll turn around.
Yeah. Watch your wallet because he's going to go for the numbers, not the actual wallet. So when he helps you steal this car, you go to get lunch with him.
You go get lunch. He takes. He goes, hey, I got to put something in your car. Takes the keys. I've told the story a million times, so I'm buzzing through it. But takes the keys, makes a copy that I don't know about, comes back in, and then he calls me a couple weeks later when I get my car back, has me drive him. He goes, I need you to come get me. This is the last thing I'll ask you for a while. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, so that sentence probably had to be his catchphrase. Where he goes, all right, it's the last thing I'm going to ask for a while. And you go, you've asked a lot of the time.
So then I'm driving him back from Fargo to Fergus Falls, where I lived. And I'm going two over the speed limit. He goes, you got to slow down. We can't get pulled over. I'm like, what the fuck's going on?
You got a real heist going on, Pops.
So then he goes, all right, take this exit, pull in here. And then we're back in the car lot where I bought my car. And he goes, where's that car that you rented? And I go, I don't know. It was a Ford, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, all right, right there. And he took his driver, there was frost on the windshield. He took his driver's license out and scraped it. And that was one of those things where I was like, all right, I'll keep that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Driver's license.
I'm not going to steal cars, but I'm going to keep that one for later.
That's a pretty cool. Thanks, Dad. Yeah. He's dadding in the weirdest times. You go, huh.
You watching this, son?
Yeah. Now I'm scraping down. Don't want to scrape up.
You'll break it if you scrape up. You got to scrape down. Yeah. Go with the grain.
With the grain. It's his shaving. That's him teaching you how to shave. He's using your license to help steal
If you go up on the frost, you're going to get ingrown frost.
Yeah. So you got to go down. Smoother. Cleaner. You go, oh.
Yeah, I'm like, oh.
So he does.
Clearly he never taught me.
Yeah, both of us never learned. I won't take a razor to my face because Daddy never taught me. So now I just buzz it off like a woman. So he does the ice thing. And then are you like.
He hops in the car.
And you know it's your rental car because it was your rental car. Yeah.
And he hops in the car and he goes, all right, follow me out here. And I'm like, okay, he wants me to follow him. That's awesome.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I mean, clearly.
Dude, you really are soaking in the dad
time.
He
loves his boy. Yeah. He wants me to follow him. So we get 2 miles out of town. I get out of the car. He rolls his window down and he goes, stay in your car. Stay in your car. I got to go. And I'm like, oh, I thought I was coming. And he goes, I want to make sure there wasn't a cop right behind me. And I'm like, okay. You're like one of those like, see ya. Like one of those moves.
I am loving. I never thought about the life of the son of a criminal where he just goes, so you're going to call? He goes, yeah. Bye. Thanks for helping me steal a car. Your lookout, dildo. He's like, you're not my kid.
You got any cash? I got a roll.
Yeah. Santa will get you back twice as much. Yeah. So how old are you when he died?
Well, we don't know when he died. And we don't know officially if he died. But
can I tell you something? Just from the stories I've heard? I don't believe he's dead.
I do. Same reason that you were talking about that.
Yeah.
Is that he would have asked to borrow money by now.
Got it.
Yep.
He would have seen it.
So
he would have looked at your ticket sales on the road. He would have gone like, Chad does real well on the road. And if I know, if he's doing a versus deal, he like knows how, he knows how to book it. He goes, if he's getting a versus, this is a good amount of cash.
Turns out I've never met my new manager.
Yeah.
And it's my dad.
Oh, for the reveal, Mission Impossible's you. He's like, Chad, one last thing. It's me, your dad. Help me steal this other car. That's nuts.
Yeah,
so,
it's pretty crazy.
So how did you get the word that he was dead?
My sister. So I guess he got in a car accident or something. And then this old lady from a church was nursing him back to health. And she had called his sister, who called my sister. I don't talk to really any of his family. He's got a cousin that's fucking rad, who comes to all the shows and stuff. Yeah, he's great. He lives in Fargo.
You want that family member.
Yeah, he's great.
You go, I'll take you.
Yeah.
Everyone else.
And
is
I
gone.
Remember him from when I was a little kid, because he used to wake us up with a rooster call. And that's I was funny. Like, what is going on?
You're a man. You're not a rooster. You're not a fowl.
You are a man. Yeah. So he still comes and hangs out with his wife, comes to shows all the time.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I love when
it's very weird.
Yeah. When you have a shitty family, but you have a good member. Like, I just got back in touch with my cousin Lisa, and she's great. And her kids are great. And then we just commiserate on how terrible our family is. And you're like, oh, this feels fun. Because you don't have to, you know what it is? It's like someone else watched the same show that you did. So you don't have to catch anyone up. Like, Katie, right. I gotta catch her up on all the characters.
Yeah.
I gotta go, you know, season 10, right. This guy was bad. But now he's good. And then my cousin Lisa, you're like, you know all the players. You know how it went down. And you're learning other stuff.
Yeah.
It's like sideshows, like Better Call Saul. You go, I didn't know it led to that. That's cool.
Well,
that's
there
fun.
Was a spinoff. I have to spoon feed. I mean, I don't have to. I mean, she can handle it. But my girlfriend, Kelsey, it's like, I don't want to give you too much of this at a time, because your reaction to the little things where you're like, I'm so sorry. She's so supportive.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm so sorry to hear that. It's like, well, we got to stop there for today.
Yeah. So there's too much. We can't give you too much, or you're going to get.
If you're sorry about that, you're going to be weeping in a second.
I'm going to give you sadness diabetes.
And And by the way, I don't know how your mom was, but I will tell you that I think we get 100 points for both parents.
Yeah.
And they get spread out however they're going to get spread out. And my mom was a 97, man.
I would put, that's a great, I love that. I would probably say my mom was at 96. Yeah. I would put her around the same thing. Maybe 95, because my dad was there for the first 3 or 4 years of my life, hardcore, and then gone.
Sure.
So yeah, I'd give her about the same, 97.
Yeah, and then her family was great. That's where we spent all the holidays and all that stuff. So
my mom's family's lights out.
I missed absolutely nothing. So when people hear these stories, they're like, Jesus Christ, man, how did you survive? It's like, I didn't miss anything.
I've never met anyone like you, because we have a very similar thing in the fact that the damage that was done wasn't so close and permanent that it fucked everything up.
Right.
But it's something that you can touch down on and go like, that was super fucked up.
Yeah.
Because my dad was gone. So my mom raised me in the suburbs of Denver. I had a great childhood. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I had some tough shit happen, but like, my mom's family's great. They're like a huge Irish family. We go see them all the time, all the cousins. Yeah. We get calls and stuff. So yeah, it's not like I was just in a single wide trailer and there was no one there.
Yeah.
My mom was there, but you know, we had our beef, but you grow up and you work that out.
Course.
And then you go like, oh, fuck. There was this moment that Katie came with me to go to Lake County, to Lakeport. And I always said, like, it's real shitty. You're not going to like it. And she thought I was being dramatic. And she's from, you know, she's from near Boston. So she was like, I don't think it's that bad. And then she went like, oh, boy. And I go, yeah, I didn't want to like completely undersell it. But she saw it. And in that trip, there was this moment where I was like, oh, I'm so glad I have the mom that I have. Because if I would have had a shitty mom, this whole thing would have gone to hell.
Oh, forget it. You gotta have one.
Yeah. And so but I never thought about that. You're right. You get 100 points. So when you're doing comedy, because the joke, the one question I had about your new special is, does your son get mad when you do a joke about him?
No, so with my kids.
Sucking up water in his asshole.
My kids I've never done a joke on stage about them without asking their permission.
That's awesome. I always wonder about that.
Because
all of our friends, you know, you have family. You're going to talk about your family and stand up. I do that with my mom. Whenever I talk about my mom dating or whatever, there was one time that she kind of gave me the clearance for the rest of my life where she goes, hey, I put you through it. If you can make it funny, go for it.
Yeah.
And you're like, thanks, lady.
Yeah, that's what I've done too. I've gone, Mom, you had me. Sister, you're part of the reason I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And then at the time when I was married, I'd be like, wife, you knew what you were getting into.
Sure.
But the kids did not.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the kids were born into it.
You got to ask them. And you know what's weird is I've only had one thing that I couldn't talk about, and it was my daughter just said, no thanks. And I'm like, all right, great.
And that's awesome. And I'll tell you what, that probably did a lot for her as far as your guys' relationship, where she was like, thanks for understanding I have a boundary and I didn't want to do that.
I mean,
that.
The kids have the power in that stuff.
Yeah. I bet there's a lot of comics that don't do that, dude. I bet there's a lot of comics that just talk about their kids and they're like, what the fuck, dude? I didn't say yes to that. And you're like, well, guess what? It's on Comedy Central, so deal with that shit. But there was, I'm trying to think if there's anything, something happened to us during the pandemic that's a bit that I'm putting out on my new YouTube special in March, but it happened. And when it happened, I went, it's kind of funny. And she goes, don't. And then like a month later, I was sitting in the living room. She comes out, she goes, I think you need to tell that story.
Oh, nice.
And so I waited. I didn't talk about it. But the second she said I could go, I was like, sick. Now I'm going to work this out into a bit.
And sometimes you have to write it out and present it.
Yeah.
Just to go like, this is what I'm going to talk about in this.
Yeah.
I will leave this part out or whatever.
So are you happy you never moved to LA or New York?
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're locked now. You don't have to. You got out of it.
I just, I didn't want to go out there because, you know, my kids were little.
Sure.
And I wanted to give them some.
God, can you imagine how weird they would be? If you had to move to like Silver Lake and they're just LA kids and they're like, dad, is it pilot season? Like how they know my seasonal depression ends around pilot season. They're like, you don't want that shit.
Yeah. Sometimes people ask me, they're like, what do you think you missed out on by not moving? It's like, well, how could I possibly answer that question? I just know what I would have missed out on if I moved,
which
makes sense. The other side of it.
And now they're out of the house.
Yeah.
So now you're just like back to like, now you're like, you're kind of in a sweeter spot. Because now you have your home base where you live, you like where you live,
yep.
And then you can go do shows you want to do.
Yeah.
And you're not like, because I bet there's got to be a point where people leave LA and someone like your kids leave out of the house in LA and you're like, why do we live in LA?
I'm positive.
Yeah. Like we like living in New York because it's just like, oh, there's just the two of us and a dog.
Mm-hmm.
There's not, but like if we had kids, I don't know if I would want to live here.
Yeah.
To raise your kids and you're like, hey, dad, I saw a guy's dick on the D train. And you're like, and let's sit down and talk about the birds and the bees. Some men do fentanyl and like to play with their soft penis at Rockefeller Center. You know, you're like giving those New York childhood stories where he goes, when he's yelling, he's not yelling at you. He's yelling at his own brain.
Well, it's interesting because we have that version of that where Northern Minnesota, but it's just like, daddy, how come there's a wiffle ball bat sticking out of that horse's tummy? Well,
so
some horses like to do fentanyl.
Yeah. Some horses are nuts and carrots just don't cut it for them. Dude, when you walked in, I showed you, I've got NBA basketball cards. Shout out Sumner, my buddy Mark, who got me into this. So you got a pack of NBA hoops cards. Yeah. You start doing this now. Just giving a pack of basketball cards to people that care. If they don't care about sports, I'm not wasting this. This is from 89, I think.
All right.
Open. So this is from 1989. If there's gum, you have to eat it.
No gum.
Okay.
Thank God.
Yeah.
We got Otis Smith from the Magic.
Fun.
We've got Frank Brickowski.
Show me. I just got to see this guy. Look at this guy. Frank, wherever you're at. Born in 1959, played at Penn State. This guy.
Has been touched.
I mean, look at that. Look at that hair. If that's your dad, you're like, all right, dad, look at you with that mullet.
Am I going to have arms like that, dad?
Yeah.
89 All-Star Game, John Stockton.
That's
of
big. You're going to want to hold on to that. He doesn't believe in COVID, so probably keep that around in case he dies of it.
Dave Hoppen.
Dude, the best part of these cards is you don't realize how many crusty white dudes were in the NBA in the 80s that just, this guy never gets it. Sorry, Dave. I don't care how good you are at Nebraska. You're not getting a call to the league in 2023.
We got a coach, Del Harris.
That's huge. Look at Del Harris. This is great. They had coaches cards.
We have NBA, 89 NBA All-Star Game. My finger hurts just in case I play poorly, Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, dude. Oh, I sweat like him in the bedroom. It's just constant dumping of sweat.
Moreland Wiley.
That sounds made up. That sounds like a name your dad stole.
You know, my dad wanted to name me Elgin after Elgin Baylor.
Wait, really?
First of all, my dad goes, I think we should get an abortion. Here's the money. And my mom was like, no, thanks, but I will keep this for a car seat.
Great.
And then he goes, well, if you're not going to kill him, how about Elgin? Let's just get him beat up a lot. What a fucking nerd.
Is there any way we could get him real hurt? Yeah. My dad suggested the name Buck. So that's we could have been Elgin and Buck
right now.
What is
with dads that leave like they need a reason?
Because they know they're going.
Yeah. How come you left? Because his fucking name's Elgin.
What do you think? I'm going to raise a buck?
Yeah.
Guy's not even. Who you got?
Harold Presley.
Okay. Harold Presley. I want to kind of do a follow up just to see where all these guys are at. Where you go like, yeah, this is Harold. He's calling. You go, Harold Presley. Did you play for this for the Kings? He goes, back in the 80s, how can I help you? Did that go? Were you a third round pick? Were you a first round pick out of Villanova? He goes, I most certainly was. Now, who is this? Go, well, I found your name in a card
but
deck.
Let me ask again, do you need to rent a car?
Yeah.
89 NBA All-Star Game. We've got an Irvin, no Magic Johnson.
I mean, this is crazy.
Is and that also, how you spell Irvin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, E-A-R-V-I-N.
All right.
I think he was Magic, but I think this was still in the point where it was like, well, that's too black to put on a card.
So oh, interesting.
Like, this feels like the white people. The white people were like, no, 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 no. We're not going to do that. Who is that? Is it Tops? No, it's Hoops.
NBA Hoops.
NBA Hoops. Dude, I'm not going to lie. As far as a pack is going, you are fucking lighting it up. Look at how small the crusty pile is versus the good pile.
Yeah. Mark Eaton.
Now, if you don't know Mark Eaton,
I'll put that in the in
put
the
that
good
in
part.
The Mark Eaton is an all-star.
Ralph Sampson.
I mean, I kind of here's the thing. I remember him because he's a coach. I think he coached. He was a Golden State Warrior, so I know all the old Warriors. I remember him playing.
Oh, nice.
Because this is before I switched to a Nuggets fan in '93. I remember Ralph Sampson.
Lafayette Lever or Lever? Excuse
I don't know.
Me. Lafayette. I didn't watch a lot of but Denver Nuggets.
Great. I'm holding on to this one. Lafayette Lever. That sounds like we're coming up with all these good fake names.
Whoa. Look at this, though. Tyrone Corbin, Timberwolves, expansion draft choice.
Come on. For you?
Yeah, I know.
Dude, you got to hold on to that one.
Hold on to that
Are
one.
Are you a big Wolves fan?
Here's another. I've been to two Wolves games in my life. Okay. I went with Kelsey last year because we moved to Minneapolis and we lived very close at the time to the Target Center.
So we walked
down there and we went and watched the Golden State Warriors so I could yell at Steph Curry. Missed a ton of threes. I felt really good about it.
You did your job.
Yeah, I did.
And I bet the Timberwolves felt that.
Yeah, and then they won in an overtime rebound dunk. Putback situation.
That's great.
At the buzzer. So that was very fun. And then the other one, my dad told us that he got us Bulls. This is when the Timberwolves were playing in the Metrodome where the Twins played.
Yeah, yeah,
because
yeah.
They didn't
famously,
have a stadium yet.
When they left the fan on so Kirby Puckett could hit that home run in the World
Series.
Yeah,
that's right.
Everyone knows you guys cheated for that night.
I don't think so. We will see you tomorrow night.
That was awesome, though.
That was fantastic.
Kirby Puckett fucking ruled.
Yeah.
I mean, problem off the field, but...
We're just talking about baseball.
Yeah.
So
guy was a real problem outside of the diamond.
But he goes, I won these tickets at work. They are courtside. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm at school. I'm talking shit. Got courtside tickets. There's this this group of boys that were very nice but wealthy.
Sure.
And so they were like, yeah, we're third row. Where are you? And I'm like, no big deal, courtside. So then we're driving down there and we get to the game and we walk in and I'm like, court's this way.
Court.
And my dad was like, yeah. So I found out later, my mom told me, he gave me an excuse, but he had lost them gambling and had to buy makeup tickets.
So there actually were courtside tickets.
And he lost them gambling and we had to walk, dude, the wall of the Metrodome was our backrest. We were way at the top.
Yeah, I've done basketball games like that.
It was brutal.
Those are brutal because you basically are like, I should be watching this at home.
Yeah, and now I'm in.
And you also talked a lot of shit at school.
I've talked so much shit that I go home and I'm like, how am I going to take a picture of this Michael Jordan poster where he's dunking to make it look like I was at the game?
You just put your head.
Like my sister, hey, can you get in there a little bit?
Yeah, okay,
get your
cool.
hair in there.
Now we're going to act like, let's change the lighting a little bit.
Fucking brutal,
dude,
man.
That's nuts.
Michael Cage.
from the now defunct Supersonics. Look at that Jerry curl.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Just let your soul glow.
Did you see when they did the Tiny Desk concert and that guy sang it?
Uh-uh.
It was great. It was not too long ago. But the guy that sings that song does not look like what you think he would look like.
Absolutely.
Hold on. Let me find it. I'm going to find the soul glow from the Tiny Desk concert.
And can we just quickly talk about that this March, you have a special coming out on YouTube.
But yeah.
Also on Netflix is Beverly Hills Cop.
It looks not bad.
A Rebirth.
It doesn't look bad.
I just love that Serge is in it still.
Yeah, he is.
Serge.
Hold on. Tiny Desk concert.
Get out of here.
Did you know any of your friends, your dad's friends?
Yeah, I got, I could tell that. But now that I see him singing it, I can totally get on board with it.
Yeah. Now you see, but when you first see that, you go like, what the fuck? You like see that, you go like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, it blew my mind. I was like, that's the guy that sings Soul Glow? But yeah, he had some Soul Glow. And your last one was Jim.
Another coach. Get him out of here.
But from the Sixers. Chris. I got to give this to Jay. Big Jay will love this because this guy looks crusty as hell. And I'm sure Jay knew about him. Jim Limnum.
Yeah.
Jim Limnum.
I'll see him tonight. I can
bring him. Dude. Well, this is the crusty pile. You take the good pile.
I'm going to take the good pile.
And then I think we're just going to keep like amassing the shitty cards, and then we'll just give them away to somebody if they want it. Chad, you're one of my favorite comics to watch.
Oh,
the new special Mixed Reviews on YouTube right now. Go give it a watch. I guarantee you will not be disappointed. He's a phenomenal stand-up comedian. You tape two in one weekend.
Tape two in one night,
In one night. And can I just say from the comedy community, fuck off, because you're making us look bad. When does the second one come out?
I don't know yet. Netflix bought it.
They did?
Yeah.
Dude, congratulations.
Because
you did the right thing. YouTube to push the numbers to people that don't have it, and then the Netflix one. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, so hopefully that'll go great. And then I'm shooting again March 2nd. No, but then I'm taking
my kid's
getting married and I'm taking a break.
Oh, really? Yeah. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Are you father of the bride or father of the groom?
Father of the groom.
The groom.
Yep.
Nice,
dude. In Mexico, so just going to go down there. I don't have any responsibilities. I think I have to be in a dance contest with the father of the bride.
But you're going to smoke him.
I don't think so. I'm not a good dancer.
Well, that's where you and Kelsey got to work on it.
She's a very good dancer.
You have to work on a routine.
Yeah.
So you can come out and do. And then you just have like in your living room, Kelsey would be going, one, two, three, one, two. And you go.
With a little crop whip.
Yeah. It goes, again, chasse. Like those are just saying commands you don't know. Right foot up. God damn it, Chad. We've been here.
This feels like Montreal. Yeah, just for
God,
laughs.
Is your name Sean? Are you going through stuff? I really appreciate you coming by.
Thanks for having me. This was awesome.
It was a very fun hang.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah. That's it.